Okay.
Changed, renewed, flowing from the grace that I found in you. Lord, I've come to know weaknesses I see in me will be stripped away.
Open the eyes of my heart this evening. Amen. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. want to see you, to see you high and lifted, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power in love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power in love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Good evening, saints. Praise the Lord. Good to be in the house of the Lord Jesus. We appreciate the Lord, and we appreciate the Lord for you overcoming and coming out on this rainy afternoon. Amen. Praise God. Certainly enjoyed the special, Rachel. That was wonderful. That was good. And Lily, too. It's good. It gets better on the ukulele. That sounds really, really good. Better and better. Praise the Lord Jesus. Well, we're going to go ahead and go to the Word this evening, and we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. And we'll start at verse 21. Matthew 15, 21. Before we go there, let's just bow our heads. Our gracious Lord Jesus, we just thank you, Father, once again for the opportunity to read your Word. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that this is your eternal and holy Word, Father. And Lord Jesus, it's Father God, powerful, Lord, to even change, Father God, the most vile person, Lord, even in this hour. It's got power to heal, Lord Jesus, because, Father, your word is life. And so, Lord Jesus, it's got creative power, Lord. And we just thank you for your word this afternoon, Lord. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would forgive us. Forgive us for our sins and wash us, Father, from anything, Lord, that we may have done, said, or even thought that was not like you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us this evening, Lord. Let someone catch, Father God, something that would help them in their journey with you, Lord Jesus. And you use my lips, Lord Jesus, to speak, Father God. Father, for I'm unworthy, Lord God, but you are the worthy, Lord Jesus. And we just commit ourselves into your hands this evening. Bless those that are not here with us, Lord. And we just ask that you have your way in this service. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Matthew chapter 15, starting at verse 21. It says, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me." Amen. You may be seated. And we'll praise the Lord. Amen. This afternoon, I just want to take a little topic, and I just want to call it "When God Sets You Up." Amen. When God sets you up. How many have been set up before? Or have you set someone up? it's not a good feeling. You know, we have different testimonies or different experiences. You know, Brother Brandon was set up one time. When he came there with the ministers there in Chicago, and they set him up for a trap, and God knew, amen, what they were doing. I remember one time when we first came into the message, we were so excited about the message and about the word. And when we had come out of the Baptist church, we had some friends there that were very skeptical of why we had left. And so they invited us to their house and they told us, they said, hey, we want us to tell us about this prophet, about Brother Branham, and come and tell us about the message. So my dad and me, we went over there. And they were friends of ours there at the Baptist church. We got there. We genuinely thought that they really wanted to hear about the message. But when we got there, they had a man there from one of the Baptist churches there in Greenville, South Carolina. And we were not expecting him to be there. He was a preacher. And so we started talking. My dad and me started explaining some things to them, what we knew at the time. And all of a sudden, he starts speaking up, and he just kind of took over the whole thing after that. And it was just a surprise for us, because really what it was is that they were trying to set us up for a trap, because this man was a theologian. And so my dad and me, we gave him some books. We gave him some tracts. I remember right before we left their house that day, I mean, we were just downtrodden, my dad and me, you know, because there we were so excited about, hey, we were going to talk to tell them about the word of God, tell them about the message. And here we are. They're just telling us how wrong we are and through this man. And I remember going to the restroom that afternoon or right before we left their house, and all the books and the tracts and everything that we had given them, where they were already in the trash can there in the restroom. So it was a trap. It was a setup. But, you know, God has his, God knows exactly, amen, who's going to receive his word and who's not. Amen. The only responsibility that we have is just to be a light to people. Amen. And tell them, amen, you're duty bound to answer when someone asks you questions. Amen. You're duty bound to. And if you don't know how, then I'm afraid you need to get in the word then. if you say, well, you need to talk to my pastor, you need to talk to such and such, you need to get in the word yourself. If you don't know how to explain the word yourself, that's a problem, I think. If you say you're a Christian, especially if you're being a Christian for many years and you don't know how to explain basic salvation to people or how to receive the Holy Ghost, that is a big problem. So I think that you need to do something about that. But anyways, so when God sets us up, amen, we've all been set up at one point in time, but God, you know, God also sets us up. And it's not to do us any wrong, amen. But I believe God sets you up, amen, in order to bring something out of you, amen, that wouldn't have come out in the first place in any other way. And so in looking here at this woman, at this Canaanite woman here in Matthew chapter 15, which you can also read in Mark chapter 7, this account, amen, it's always been striking to me, this passage here in the scriptures, because it's a Gentile woman. It's not a Hebrew. She wasn't one of his disciples. She wasn't someone who was walking with Jesus. She was a Gentile heathen woman who apparently, where she came from, she was a Canaanite woman. And where she came from, she was an idol worshiper. She didn't worship the God of Israel. She didn't. Amen. But somehow or another, amen, it got to a point that her daughter, amen, was so sick and was so tormented by a devil that she realized, wait a second, my God, the gods that we are told that we to worship, the Baals or whoever it is, cannot help my daughter. And she probably may have heard from many different testimonies of different people of what Jesus had done for her, for others. And she said, you know what? If he can do it for them, then I know that he can do it for me too. Amen. And I'm not going for myself, but I'm going for my daughter. Amen. What mother, amen, doesn't do anything, amen, for their child when she's a true mother? Amen. She would shake heavens and earth just to be able to find help for a sick daughter or a sick son. Amen. There's nothing that you wouldn't do as a parent for your child. Oh, they might be 35 years old. There's still nothing that you wouldn't do for your child. That's your child. Amen. You would try to find help. You would try to do whatever you could, amen, in order to help your children. Praise the Lord. You know, there's something that struck me when I was younger. When I used to work at Chick-fil-A in Greenville, South Carolina, and there was one evening my parents used to go pick me up. It would be about a 35-minute drive from where we lived to the Chick-fil-A where I was working at. And they'd pick me up. But that evening, somehow, there was no cell phones at the time, so we lost communication. I left earlier that evening. And so I thought that they were going to be already out there waiting for me. And so it was at a parking lot. The Chick-fil-A was at a parking lot it was at a mall. And so I walked out the parking lot and I was there just walking around. I was listening to my music and just kind of walking around and my parents were driving around too. And they were looking for me, wondering when I was going to get out. Well, it was about an hour or so. And my mom thought, because my mom was with my dad that evening, my mom thought that something had happened to me because the Chick-fil-A had already closed. So the parking lot was getting dark and so finally I saw them and got in the car and my mom was worried half to death. And that's what we do sometimes as kids. We worry our parents. I know I did. They pray. If it wasn't for their prayers, we wouldn't be where we are now. Amen. Thank God for our parents' prayers. But we got home and the love of a mother. You know, I'll never forget this. When we got home, we got out of the car and we walked in the house. And she opened the door when we walked in together. She really wasn't saying anything while we were in the car because she was nervous. But when we got in the car, when we got in the house, she turned around, looked at me, and just gave me this big old tight hug. And she started crying on my shoulders and said, "I thought I'd lost you. I thought something had happened to you." And right there, I melted too. I said, "Mom, I'm okay." I was probably like 15 years old. So, "Mom, I'm okay. I'm okay." Well, I'm her only son, so and her firstborn. So, but you know, those things leave an impression on your heart. It lets you know that your parents, you know, really love you, and show them affection when they show you affection, because maybe you won't ever have that opportunity again. You know, you might think, "Oh, my parent, my dad, or my mom, they're just too affectionate. I don't want them to go over here and get so close to me." But you know what? You're our children. You'll never stop being our children. No matter how grown up you may be, you're still going to always be our children. And we saw you from a little baby, and then here you are. You're grown up, and you're bigger, and we still love you, just the same. So, anyways, I don't even know why I got into that. That wasn't even in my notes. But praise the Lord anyhow. Amen. Brother Branham says this here. He says in the message, "And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemy." He says, "You go through a test. God tests you like he did Abraham. He tests Abraham's seed after him. And now the reason we don't possess the gate of the enemy, the reason there's so much among us, it's because that we're not able to stand the test. And let me tell you something. Watch what he says here. And I thought this was very interesting. The test of the word is right. Amen. The test of the word is right. You know, God, amen, when he tests his children, amen, it's through his word. Amen. It's how you will respond maybe to something in the word that maybe he has already spoken to you already, but you haven't done anything about it. So then he'll bring something about in your life. Amen. It's like, you know what? You know my word already. Let's see if you can pass that. Amen. And if you don't pass it, you just take it over again until you do pass it. Amen. Until you go to the next grade. And that's how God works. Amen. So the test of the word is right. And so we're going to see here in just a moment how he used his own, his word, amen, in order to test this woman. I mean, she wasn't a daughter of his per se, but maybe later on she got the Holy Ghost. I don't know. We don't know after what happened here. But one thing is for certain, amen, we see that something great happened here. Something was brought out of her, amen, that would not have been brought out any other way. And it took a devil, amen, to drive her to do that. It took a devil, amen, possessing her daughter, amen, to put her into that situation in order to bring that situation about. And don't you think that God, remember Jesus said that he never did anything unless the Father showed him first. And so we see that here in Matthew chapter 15, amen, at the beginning of the chapter, the first part of the chapter, Jesus is offending left and right. He's talking about the traditions of God versus the commandments of God, and how the Pharisees, they were just about, amen, looking good on the outside, amen, but they were dead men bones inside. And how they're dead in their traditions. And he was just offending them left and right. And then here he comes. Amen. In this same chapter. And is about to bring more offense. Amen. But it's not an offense. Amen. To do harm. But it's an offense to do good. Amen. Because I believe that he saw this woman. Otherwise he wouldn't go to Tyre and Sidon. For one, I believe that he's trying to get away from the heat there in Jerusalem or wherever he was talking to the Pharisees. It was probably a lot of heat. He made them mad. So he's probably trying to get away. And if you know where Tyre and Sidon is located, it's located on the northwest part of Israel, towards the coasts. And so it's very, very far from Jerusalem and those areas. And Tyre and Sidon are about 20 miles away from each other. They were heathen cities. They served other gods, and they were mostly made up of Gentiles. Amen. And there were some Jews there too. But Jesus, amen, went over there to get away from all that heat. You know, sometimes we need to get away from the heat. It's good to get away. You know, they would criticize Brother Branham sometimes why he'd go fishing. And shouldn't he always be preaching? Shouldn't he always be praying for the sick, healing the sick? But you know what? You need some rest sometimes. Amen. You know, ministry can wear you out. Amen. Ministry can wear you out. And preaching can wear you out too. Amen. And so Jesus needed rest along with his disciples. Now, We know that God is pleased in testing his children. We see it, we read in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 7 says that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold. Amen. He calls the trial of your faith precious than gold. Amen. That perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Job 23:10 tells us, yet he knows the way I have taken. When he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. Psalm 66:10 tells us, for thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Amen. And then 1 Peter 4:12 tells us, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. Trials will come. Tests will come. They're unavoidable. It's how you will react to those tests. And how will you react to those trials is what God is trying to bring out of us. Amen. So there in Matthew 15:21, we'll just kind of take it verse by verse, and it says, then Jesus went thence and departed it to the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And we already went through that Jesus had just, amen, he had a throwdown, I guess you could say, with the Pharisees there at the beginning of the chapter. Amen. But you know what? Truth is truth. Amen. And you know, Jesus was only here for a certain amount of time. So he needed to tell them the truth. Amen. And it was up to them to do what they were going to do with that truth. Now, in verse 22, it says, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. Amen. It's almost as if she's saying that she's the one that needs the help. She cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. Amen. Obviously, she's been around Jews enough to know that the Messiah that was to come was to be the son of David. It was a political term that really didn't belong for her to say. Amen. So really, she wasn't son of David to him, because the son of David was only for the Jews. Amen. And so she calls out to him and says, with everything that she has, I'm sure she was being genuine in the way she was doing it. And she says, "Lord, have mercy on me, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." Now, the Bible doesn't tell us, amen, how vexed she was. Maybe it was sickness. Maybe it was a demon of something spiritual in her life. We don't know. But the Bible tells us that she says to him, she was grievously vexed with a devil. And you know, as I said, you know, her denomination couldn't help her. Her church people, her pastor couldn't help her. Amen. This was the last opportunity. This was the last person, amen, that he's helped others. Why couldn't he help me? And so she goes with everything that she has. Amen. Praise God. Now, verse 23 tells us, "But he answered her not a word." So here's this woman, amen, she's making all this all this racket and all this noise. And you know, Jesus has to have heard her. But the Bible tells us that he answered her not a word. Amen. Maybe Jesus and the disciples, amen, they were really relaxing. They were really, you know, we've had enough heat for a little while, and maybe Jesus was on his phone. You know? Like some of us sometimes, you know. "Hey brother, how you doing? Huh?" You have to talk over people now, amen. You got to snatch the phone off of people just to get them to pay attention to you nowadays. I've been there, done that. I got the T-shirt. My wife could tell you that that's the case. But here, it's rude when somebody doesn't pay attention to you or doesn't hear you out, right? And here's this woman, amen, comes to Jesus with a need. And the Bible says that he didn't answer her not one word. I mean, we get offended nowadays, amen, when you know that they read our text message, because it says "read" at the bottom, and they don't reply back. You imagine that. The God of creation, amen. The Jesus, amen, who's the loving Christ Jesus, who's supposed to pay attention to every one of our needs, didn't reply back to her. Didn't reply her text message. In other words, in today's vernacular. Can you imagine that? And his disciples came and besought him, saying, verse 23, "And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us." Now, and looking at some and reading at some of this, we don't know. We don't know if the disciples were telling her, "Go ahead and give her what she wants and let her just go on her way," telling Jesus, or "Jesus, go ahead and just tell her to go away," right? Because they knew that Jesus could give her what she needed. But obviously, she was being very bothersome to them. And so much that, amen, they were probably on their phones too. I don't know. I mean, they were probably just busy and like, you know what? Get her to go away. Do something, Jesus. In other words, they were trying to tell Jesus what to do. Amen. And Jesus was just there minding his own business. Amen. So here's the thing. That woman was ignored first. She comes with a need. And how is it, you know, when we come with a need, amen, and we're ignored. Amen. She comes with a need and is ignored by not just Jesus, but by the church as well. The disciples ignore her as well. They don't even give her any help. Amen. And so now, amen, she feels rejected as well. Praise the Lord. Send her away, for she crieth after us. And it wasn't that she was crying for them, but she wasn't telling that Peter, have mercy on me, or anything like that. No, she was wanting Jesus. But they were getting in the way of her getting to Jesus. I wonder if sometimes us, amen, as the disciples of Christ, as the church of Christ, if we don't get in the way of people getting closer to God. Amen? Maybe we're the ones at fault, amen, for people not drawing closer to us, because we think, amen, that our way, the way we do it, is how it needs to be done. And you know what? Sometimes that might just turn people more away than draw them closer. It's better, amen, to just say, Lord, have your way. Lord, do what you need to do. Amen. And you know the hearts of people, because you and me cannot do the work for others. I can't change hearts. Brother Wade can't change hearts. Brother Dale can't change hearts. None of us can change people's hearts. Only God changes hearts. Amen. Only God, amen, can change the heart. There is nothing that you and I can say, amen, to some rebellious youth or some rebellious person or anybody, amen, that would change their heart unless God comes down and does it himself. Amen. I'm just thoroughly convinced of that more and more. As the year passes by and as you see our children growing, amen, there is nothing that you and I can say, amen, that really will turn hearts unless they really want to desire it first. Other than that, amen, it's just wasting your breath if really God has not gone in there. Now, you can be salty. You be salty before people, because I promise you that living the life, amen, and living before others, amen, has more impact than anything that you and I could say. Amen. Anything that you and me could say. Amen. Anything that you and me can prove to someone, amen, doesn't have as much impact as when somebody, amen, sees a life, a genuine life, amen, being reflected out of you. And I pray God helps us. Amen. Pray God helps us. So the disciples, amen, they take the matters into their own hands and they try to tell Jesus what to do. And so what was the real reason that the disciples wanted Jesus to send her away? Was it because they wanted her to be healed? Or was it because she was being just a bother, like a little puppy, a little dog, a little barking chihuahua? Yeah. Amen. Just barking all around her. I don't know if you have ever had a barking chihuahua. Maybe you have one of those at your house. We used to have a chihuahua when we were younger. And them things, oh man, they're bothersome. Yeah. They're cute, some of them. But man, they have that bothersome bark. And it gets on your nerves in so much that you just want to stick them in a closet and shut the door and just not let them ever come out again. But they'll watch over a house though. They'll let you know if somebody's approaching the house. Amen. But that's how these disciples saw this woman. In verse 24, it says, but he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, this is after the disciples had told them, send her away. And this is his reply, Jesus' reply. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So was Jesus answering the disciples, or was he saying it to the woman? Because it doesn't say whether he was talking to the woman or was he answering his disciples, you see? Now later on we'll see that he actually directly talks to the woman. Amen. But I believe that Jesus, when he was saying this, amen, he was saying it with with tenderness and compassion, amen?
Right.
But yet stating truth,
right.
Amen?
Right.
Because let's just read it like this. Sometimes we want to read these passages and think that Jesus was just being so hard and just kind of, you know, going over this woman, you are a dog. But I don't think because the woman was still persistent. And you're not going to persist, amen, with someone who doesn't want you. You know, you just kind of leave them alone then. But I believe that the way Jesus was talking, amen, wasn't being harsh, wasn't being critical, amen, wasn't being, amen. But I believe Jesus, amen, let's just see it like this. He said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In other words, I got to do this, you know. It's almost like I'm being torn apart, you know.
Yeah.
This is just me. I could be wrong, but the loving Jesus, amen, had to find a certain way, amen, to bring that out of her, amen.
Right, brother, amen.
Praise God. And it caused, amen, it caused the woman to be persistent. Amen. However it was that the Lord Jesus, amen, was answering her, it caused her to be persistent. Amen. Because she kept persisting. Praise God. And so we see here, amen, that Brother Branham, the quote that we just read, that he says, the test of the word is right.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise God. What Jesus was doing, amen, was the right thing. What Jesus was saying to her was the right thing, because the Bible says that he came to his own, right? And his own received him not. He came as the Messiah for the Jews. Amen. He was fulfilling, amen, the Old Testament scriptures. Amen. And so he really wasn't for them. But was it that the Gentiles were not going to receive any benefits while he was there? And if you look back, amen, He replies this way, but if you go back to Matthew chapter 8, just a few chapters before, we see the Roman centurion. And he was a Gentile. And he goes to Jesus almost in the same way. And he says, Lord, my servant is grievously sick. And you know what Jesus replies to him? He says, I'll go and heal him. Why didn't he answer her this way?
Right.
And then what the centurion says, he says, Lord, I'm not worthy that you come under my roof.
Right.
Amen. Because you're a master just like I am. And if you and I tell this one to do this and this one to go that. Amen. But if you just say the word, it was almost, it's almost as if Jesus, amen, said deliberately those things. Or did deliberately those things in order to bring that out of them.
Right.
The Roman centurion. And it's the same thing with the Canaanite woman here that we're reading about. Makes me think about predestination.
Yeah.
Brother Ryan talking about this Sunday. We really enjoyed that Sunday school lesson. Yeah, about how God has a plan for us, and it's like a play, and the different characters and all this. And God's foreknowledge, amen, he knows, amen, what you are going to choose, amen?
Right.
Praise God. So he'll present the situation in order for you to make the decision,
right.
To make the choice. Now, maybe the centurion, he heard the same thing too. He probably heard that others were being healed as well. So why couldn't his servant be healed? Amen.
Right.
And maybe they had to hear something first.
Right. Yeah.
In order for them to make a decision to go to Jesus.
Right.
And then Jesus present things, amen, to them the way the way they did. So Jesus to the Roman centurion says, I'll go and heal him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, no, Lord. No, you stay right there. You just say the word.
Amen.
Amen. And my servant will be healed.
Amen.
That was powerful.
Amen.
Jesus told him, he said, amen, I haven't seen such faith in Israel.
Right.
Amen. And his servant was healed.
Amen.
But why is it that he didn't say do the same thing for this woman? She was a Gentile just like he was. She was a heathen just like the Roman centurion was. Nothing different other than he was a man and this is a woman. But you see, God knows exactly how to deal with each and every one of us. He knows exactly what you need or what he needs to say, amen, through his word or maybe through a sermon or maybe somebody says something to you to bring a certain reaction, amen, that will spark, amen, for you to decide going this way or decide going that way, amen, in order to fulfill your predestination. Amen. That's how I believe it. I believe that that's what happened here. Because God's not a respecter of persons. He just knows exactly what you need. You see? Praise God. Sometimes, amen, we're so stuck in it needs to be done this way, this way. God only does it this way. You'd be surprised. God sometimes, amen, does things totally different than what we think. And you can't say that that is not of God. If it's going to bring out a positive outcome, amen, then so be it. He'll always stay in his word for sure. And neither of these two situations, he was out of the word. He just knows the hearts of the people much better than you and me do. You don't know people's hearts. I don't know people's hearts. Therefore, we can't judge, amen, and say yes, 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 when in reality you don't know. Amen. So we got to be careful with that. We got to be careful with that. So in John 1:11 says he came to his own and his own received him not. Amen. So Jesus was there fulfilling. Amen. That scripture. Amen. And in going back to what Brother Ryan was saying, amen, because I like the way he brought it out with regards to you know, the different characters and a play and all those different things. Different elements have to take place in our life. Amen. We in our life, this woman right here, amen, God, Jesus was trying to do everything he could because he only had a certain amount of time with her. So he did everything, amen, that he could, amen, to draw out what he knew was in her. Amen. All in maybe in a 30-minute span. What might take place for us in 80 years, the ups and downs where we pray to God and say, Lord, do this for me, and God doesn't answer. And then sometimes we have our ups and we have their good times and all that. That woman experienced that within a span of maybe 30 minutes. God wasn't going to waste. Jesus wasn't there to waste any time. Amen. He was going to bring out from her, amen, exactly what he needed to bring out. So it could take for us 75 years to do it. It could take, amen, God is patient. But for in this situation, he needed to do it within 20 to 30 minutes. That's the reason why because you read this passage and you think how harsh Jesus was. What situation? Why couldn't he just go and just heal his daughter or remotely do it? He did it for the Roman centurion. Why can, amen, but. The healing part was not his problem. He could do that. That is not a problem. He was trying to bring out of this woman, amen, something that he knew that she could come to. He was more concerned about her than he was about the healing of the daughter. Amen. It's how strange God does things. He's more concerned about the heart than he is about, amen, the healing of a person. I'm not saying that the healing is not important to him. I'm just saying the heart is more important, amen. Because you could be healed in your body and then maybe backslide a year from now and be totally healed from cancer. God will never take that away. He could. Amen. He could. But he's more concerned about your heart condition. Amen. About your soul. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So healing of our bodies, amen. That's just a little bit. Sometimes it's the hearts that he has, He has to work on more.
Amen. Right.
But he does it right.
Amen.
Does exactly what he needs to do.
Amen.
So in verse 25 it tells us, then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Amen. And after being rejected, after being ignored, she finally said, you know what? He's not my Messiah. He's not my son of David. I realize that, but at least I'm going to plead for his mercy and for his grace. That's all I got. Amen. Praise the Lord. Jesus' silence, amen, towards her and what seemed to be a rejection brought out authenticity from her. Now she came in talking about, son of David, have mercy on me. She wasn't being authentic then. She was just doing what others were doing. She was just saying what others were saying. Now she said, Lord, I have no other place to go. I have no other person to turn to. Lord, help me. Brought out something authentic from her. Brought out humility out of her. Amen. Brought out perseverance in her. Amen. And a heart of worship too. Now she's got a heart of worship. Praise the Lord. Amen. And Matthew 20, and the next verse, he says, but he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Amen. Now, let's just look at this here for just a moment. I'm just kind of skipping here a few things. Because what Jesus was doing, amen, he was setting her up. Remember the title is, when God sets you up. He was setting her up the whole time.
Right.
Amen. He was setting her up for a breakthrough.
Amen.
Praise God. That's really what he was doing.
Amen.
Amen. And sometimes in our problems, amen, God is, all he's doing is just setting you up.
Yes. Amen.
He's just setting you up. He answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Now, according to Mark 7:24, which is the other scripture that's talking about this same situation, Jesus at this time was in a house. And it reads like this. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into an house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. So the woman probably entered into the house. Maybe she was outside crying for him. And the disciples said, tell her to go away. At this time now, he's entering into a house. Maybe he was there to pray for somebody or to heal somebody. Or maybe just to have dinner. We don't know why he was there at the house for. But she won't leave him alone. And then in verse 27, because we know that Jesus actually says this line to her. But Jesus said unto her, amen, the same line that we just read there in verse 26. Let the children first be filled. For it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. Now, if you look at the Greek word, because sometimes we wonder, was Jesus really calling her a dog? Maybe, maybe not. But if you look at the Greek there, amen. Jesus, the Greek word there is kynaios, and that word means a little dog, a house dog, or a puppy. It's totally different from the word dogs that are used in Matthew chapter 7 verse 6. Which says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs. That's a totally different word there. It's the word kisim. It's the Greek word kisim, which is a dog, which is universally despised in the East, a primary word or a dog.
Right.
In Luke 16:21, speaking of Lazarus the beggar having his sores licked by dogs, that is a totally different word there as well, which means the same thing as the previous one, a dog universally despised in the East, or a dog. But the word that Jesus uses there, or the translation, is a puppy or a house dog. So he wasn't calling her a dog from the street. A dog from the street doesn't have any benefits. But your dog at your house, he has benefits. He might be a dog, but he's got benefits. Or she's got benefits. He wasn't calling her a dog as an offense per se. And what he was really telling her is like, hold on a second. Let me take care of the children first. Then you can be taken care of. And we'll read here that in just a moment. Amen. Because Jesus really wasn't refusing her request. It's not what he was doing. He was just prioritizing her request. It's really what he was doing. So we have this dog at our house. Her name is Satsuki. And I have a picture here, man. You want to see a picture of our dog? Maybe the brothers can bring that up. Anyways, I need to connect here anyways. That's Satsuki right there. That was a picture that my wife took last night. And she's a multi-poo. Now, this is the position that she's always at when I get home from work. Especially when she sees me going through, she knows that I'm going to be giving her something to eat. She's looking at me just like that and jumping. And then eventually she'll start jumping and stuff like that. But what Jesus is telling this woman is that you're a house dog, right? But a house dog with benefits. Because as the people are eating and stuff like that, maybe, I don't know, I do it. I'm not supposed to. My wife gets onto me to do it. As I'm eating, amen, sometimes I'll give her a little something. Or as maybe the kids at the house sometimes, they're like, finish your food, and they don't finish it all, so then eventually it gets gone. Wow. They had given her the last few scraps. She is eating exactly what we're eating at the time that we're eating. So what this woman is about to tell her, the brothers can cut that off for just a moment. Bring my notes back here. What Jesus is trying to tell her is, hold on a second. Amen. The children come first. Then you can have your benefits. Amen. I'm not ignoring you. Amen. He clearly tells her, I'm not ignoring you. But they come first. Amen. It's almost like the equivalent of like, you know, when you go to the, let's say you broke your ankle or you sprung your ankle and you go to the emergency room. Amen. And then you're there at the emergency room. But as you're there being treated and they're looking at your ankle and then, but then here comes a man, amen, who's been shot, gunshot wounded. And it's bleeding all over the place inside the same emergency room. And everybody, amen, stops doing what they're doing to you, amen, because they got to attend to this man. Yeah. And you ain't going to get mad. You ain't going to be like, well, I ain't coming here anymore. And you just hobble out right out of the hospital. They going to take care of them. He's bleeding, blood coming out of his mouth, and all kinds of stuff, and you're worried about a sprung ankle. That's exactly what Jesus is doing with this woman. Hold on a second. Wait your turn. Amen? But the woman wasn't going to have it. She understood. Amen. She understood because, I mean, she could have left mad right there. She could have left sad. She could have left right there and said, well, you're not going to help me. Well, I'm gone. And I will make sure that I post it all over Facebook and let everybody know who you really are, Jesus. And Peter and all the disciples, I'll tell them who you really are. You really don't want to help. You're racist. And pulling out the race card. Like everybody else does nowadays. All right, let me get off that. But she could have done it. But she didn't. He called me a house dog. He called me a dog. But you know what? She started thinking with herself. Amen. She probably started thinking, wait a second. He called me a house dog. And he called me a dog. He called me a house dog. And being that I'm a house dog, I have a dog in my house myself. I can enjoy what the master is eating. Maybe she thought that within herself at the moment. And she says in verse 27, she says, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. In other words, as the master is eating, the dogs can also enjoy at the same time. So what she's trying to tell him is, Lord, as you're there dealing with your children, I can enjoy those benefits too. At the same time. Amen. Well, look in Mark 7:28 says it like this. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And when you look at that word crumbs, it could also mean morsels. Amen. So whatever the master is eating, whatever the children are eating, I can enjoy too. Even if it's in small portions, but it's the same food. Amen. It's the same food. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. And she agreed with Jesus. She told him, you're right, Lord. You're right. Amen. She said the right thing. You are right, Lord. But yet, even though I may be a dog, maybe a house dog, or whatever it is that you're calling me, amen, but I can have the same benefits that they are having. Praise God. Amen. Don't you think that you can enjoy the same benefits? Well, somebody else got healed. Somebody else, child came to the Lord. Somebody else, amen, received this benefit in their life, spiritual life. I don't know about me, amen, but if you just take the attitude of this woman, amen, that, amen, they can have it, I can too. Because God is not a respecter of persons, amen. Praise the Lord. The way they came, amen, is the way that I can come. Praise God. Her faith was already built so much. Amen. Even through rejection, through being ignored, right. even through all these different things. Amen. Even being insulted almost. Absolutely. Right. And yet, all that did was just raise her faith up. Amen. Even more. Amen. Praise God. Yes. That's hard. But I believe that if Jesus, amen, maybe if Jesus was being harsh towards her, like we think maybe he was, maybe she might not have replied that way. Because who will? Who will come to you? Who will draw closer to you when you're harsh to them? It doesn't work that way. But I believe in a softer way. Wait a second. Let me take care of that. Then the dog. Because maybe Jesus was telling her that in a way of like, let's say the golden rule, you know, some sort of quote, you know. You know, treat others as you want to be treated. Right? Maybe he's just kind of telling her that it's not right for me to deal with you right now when there's a need here. Yep. But I will deal with you. Right. Oh, it's okay, Lord. But even while you're dealing with them, I'll have my portion as well. Praise God. Because I didn't come all over here all this way, amen, just to leave empty handed. Amen. I could receive a blessing too, amen. I didn't walk all this way. I didn't go through all this. I didn't go through every church and every preacher from our church to pray for my daughter. And I went through many doctors. Maybe she went through a whole lot of stuff just to get the healing for her daughter. And you're my last chance, Lord. You're my last resort. And I know that you are right, Lord. But even in this condition, amen, I can receive benefits. Praise God. Amen. Look what Brother Branham says in the message, Perseverance. Now this woman, the Syrophoenician woman, she believed also. This Greek, she said, Lord, first she said, Thou son of David, a Gentile has no hold on Christ by the son of David. That was thought king, that was through King David, the race of the Jews. He never paid any attention to her. But when she turned and said, Lord, help me. Amen. That got him.
Right.
He was her Lord, not a son of David. But he was her Lord. Lord, help me.
Amen.
That caught him. And he turned around and said, it's true. The dogs eat the scraps from the master's table. That is true. Look what that woman had the right approach to yeah. God's gift.
Amen.
What did she say? He said she approached it right.
Right.
Amen. Amen. She approached it right. I like the way Jesus says it in I believe it's in the Living Translation. In verse 28, she said, she replied, that's true, Lord, but even the dogs under the table are allowed to eat the scraps from the children's plates. And then in verse 29, he says, good answer, he said. Good answer. Now go home, for the demon has left your daughter.
Amen.
Amen. He finally tells her what she wanted to hear the whole time after he got from her what he wanted out of her. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Maybe you're seeking the healer in your life for your healing. I don't know. But really what you need, maybe you're seeking the healing in your life, but what you really need is the healer. Amen. Maybe what you're seeking a miracle in your life, but what you really need is the miracle maker. Amen. Maybe what you need is him personally. Amen. And not necessarily the benefit of him. And when the woman got to that point that she was seeking the him more than the benefit, then Jesus could do something for her. He wasn't even seeing her daughter. He probably didn't even know what she looked like. He probably had never seen her before. Maybe in his mind he did. The Bible doesn't say, but he had never even talked to her. And yet, when he received that response and that faith and that increased in her, amen. Go, your daughter is made well.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Good answer. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So she received, amen, exactly what she needed to hear. If the brothers could bring the screen up one more time. I hope this plays. All right, there we go. So, right there, she was ignored. Right? She still kept going. Then she was rejected. Right? She still kept going.
Yep.
Right?
Come on, bro.
Send her away. Mm-hmm. Not even paying attention.
Yep.
Then she was considered insignificant.
Yep.
But she's still climbing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen. Then she was insulted. But if you notice, amen, that as all these roadblocks are being put in front of her, amen, that all it is just scaling her up for her. They're just stepping stones for her miracle. Amen. There's the miracle and there's the blessing right there. And Jesus was setting her up the whole time. Praise the Lord. So your no's, amen, the no's are the best yeses that God will, that you'll ever receive. Amen.
Amen.
Sometimes we ask the Lord, God, do this, amen, and he says no. And I know that maybe that was kind of a little cheesy, but I was actually working with a little program that, and I, you know what, let me try this. And it worked. Praise God. So God is setting you up. I mean, it could, maybe it, for this woman, it was an ordeal about maybe 15 to 30 minutes. I don't know. We don't know how long that whole ordeal took place. For you, it could be 5 years. For you, it could be 10 years, 15 years, 30 years. I don't know. You don't know. But God ultimately wants hearts. Not just the miracles. The miracles are fine. But he ultimately wants hearts. Maybe he's doing the things he's doing in your life because he wants your heart. And he wants your heart first. He wants to do a work in you first. Then after he's done with you, then he can do the rest. Because that part is easy. Amen. So I just thank God. Amen. For that. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Right before we leave, I wanted to, if the brothers make sure that they have audio, I wanted to save this last. I wanted to first say to thank each and every, my wife's oldest sister from Canada. She had surgery. Nova is her name. She had surgery earlier this week. Her thyroid was taken out. But she wants to thank each and every one of you for praying for her. She came through the surgery. Amen. Just keep praying for her right now. She's going through a situation with her marriage. And in the midst of all of this surgery and all her recovering and all that. And so just remember her in your prayers. Amen. Amen. But she just thanks each and every one of you for praying for her. And just keep praying for her in that situation there as well. And also I wanted to show this video. This is brother Robert, the brother that we sent the money for the church there in Honduras. This is the pastor there, and so he sent a thank you to each one of us, as to Brother Dale specifically. So is the audio. Oh, no. Okay. Well, he in the video, he's specifically telling Brother Dale, we appreciate the money that was sent, and thanks each and every one of you all, and just keep them in your prayers. Amen. There was a few other things he had mentioned there, and I just... I can't interpret it if I don't hear it. So, anyways. All right. Also, one more thing. We were asking that we pray for Brother Eric Gajo's little baby on Sunday. And this is the little one. But today, and I need to check with him. But he has a problem with his ears. Apparently, he sent more pictures. Okay. His ear hole is, just like, it's kind of closed. So, this is his other side. So both of them, and he has a little growth growing out of his ear. So he asked that you all would just keep him in your prayers. He was supposed to go to the doctor today, and they were going to tell him, give him direction as to how, what they should do. So just remember Brother Eric in your prayers and the little baby, that God will just give him direction. And maybe we'll give another update as soon as we get more updates. So praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. How many love the Lord?
Yeah.
Let's stand to our feet this evening. Amen. When God sets you up, amen. Do you believe that God can set you up for a blessing?
Yes, amen.
Maybe God is doing it right now.
Yes.
I don't understand, Lord. Amen. We don't need to understand it. As long as we know that he understands.
Right.
Praise God. As the musicians come, let's just bow our heads. Our gracious Lord Jesus, we just thank you once again for the opportunity that we have had to open up your word, Lord. And Father, we just appreciate, Lord God, the encouragement that you give us, Father, through these examples, Lord. This woman, Father, who you had this interaction with, Lord Jesus, and now her testimony, Father, is being told all over the world, Lord, for many, many, many years, Father. She probably wasn't even thinking this, Lord. She probably never thought in her mind, you know, I'm going to go to Jesus and they're going to write about me and it's going to just go throughout all the world and I'll be, my testimony will just be known all over the world. She never thought that. She just wanted the healing of her daughter, Lord. But because of her reaction, Lord, and her spontaneous faith, Father, and her determination, Father, to not leave there empty-handed. And even though she was insulted and rejected, and it seemed that way, Lord, but the whole time, Father, you were just, Lord, just drawing her closer to receive her blessing. May you help us, Father, and help us to apply this in our lives in the way that it needs to be applied, Lord, in our individual lives, our individual needs, and individual walks, Lord. And Lord Jesus, may you just continue to be amongst us, keep directing us, guiding us, and be with the sick ones amongst us, Lord. And help us, Father, to just come back here, Lord, Sunday, Lord, to receive from you, Lord Jesus. And we just thank you, Father, for your blessings. We commit the rest of the time into your hands in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. The musicians come. You can come. Let's just sing something real quick before we're dismissed. Amen. Amen. I got so much to thank him for. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Got so much to thank him for, so much to praise him for. To me, and when I think of what he's done and where he's brought me from, I've got so much to thank him for. When I look around and see the good things he does for me,
God has brought before us, Lord Jesus, and I pray, Lord, that you would just work in this situation with this young man, Lord God, and I pray, Lord Jesus, the Father, that you would just, Lord, direct, Father God, the situation in the way that it needs to be directed, Lord Jesus, and Father God, may you just help Brother Don, Lord, to be the light that he needs to be, Lord God, before this young man, Lord Jesus. And Father God, maybe through him, Lord, this young man maybe can even draw closer to you, Father. And Lord Jesus, you have your way in this situation, Father. And we commit it into your hands. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 Thank you. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus.
So much to thank him for. It's a good song. So much to thank him for. So much to praise him for.
hearts, you see. Oh God, may the healing that you already purchased for our brother, Lord, may you just apply it to him, Lord Jesus, Father. We just commit him into your hands, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen, amen. I'm leaving with you, Brother Dale. God bless you.
He's brought me from, I've got so much to thank him for. I've got so much to thank him for,
so much
to praise him for. You see, he has been so good to me. And when I think of what he's done and where he's brought me from, I've got so much,
oh, hallelujah,
to thank him for.
Praise the Lord Jesus. We thank God for everything that he's doing. Everything that he's done. We just thank him for that. What he will do. But what he's doing now. Can you thank him for what he's doing now? That's hard. If it's negative. If it seems like it's negative, it's hard to do. But remember, God is in control. God has not forgotten you, has not forgotten the situation, and none of it has taken him by surprise. Amen. Amen. Remember, he saw it before the foundation of the world. Praise the Lord. He's just trying to carry out the scene. Amen. Setting you up for a blessing. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. All hearts, minds clear. Remember this weekend services. We got Brother Willie Smiley coming this weekend from Florida. So come and be expecting. And just praying for each other. Amen. We love you in the love of the Lord. Let's just sing this, Brother Boy.
Remember that Brother Caleb Campbell, his wife, 7 months ago. And another update. Hadn't done any real change. So pretty serious with the heart condition and another condition to have. So just
Caleb Campbell. Okay. Brother Caleb, yeah, from Beaufort. Okay. So remember him in prayer, amen, in the situation there. Also, I think remember this Saturday, I think we're going to be heading to visit Brother Howell, so the nursing home. So you're welcome to visit with us if you want. Usually there for maybe about an hour or so. So let's just sing this again while we're dismissed.
I've got so much to thank him for, so much to praise him for. You see, he has been so good to me.
And you may be dismissed.
Of what he's done.